A banjo, three-part harmony, and a well-known Stephen Foster song from the 1800s. Doesn't sound like a recipe for hip, and yet somehow the Be Good Tanyas managed to perform the song with an edge. The Be Good Tanyas come from Canada with a banjo, mandolin, and guitar on their knees. They started playing together 2 years ago after discovering they shared a love of old American music, blues, gospel, and Appalachian folk tunes. They made their first recording in a wooden shack outside Vancouver. Their CD is called Blue Horse, and it's been winning a lot of critical and popular attention. The Be Good Tanyas join me now in the studio. They are Frazee Ford, Samantha Parton, and Trish Klein. Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
The first question everyone's going to wonder is, what is with this name? None of you is named Tanya. Where'd you get Be Good Tanyas?
Isn't that weird?
We have two versions of the story. Go ahead, Sam. You tell your part.
We have this friend called Oboe Martin McCrory. He wrote a song called Be Good Tanya about hopping trains and being a bum and passing back through the town where Tanya lived. And he tried to get her to go with him to hop trains and write songs together and sing. And her parents said, no, you got to stay home and finish school. She was still in high school. Get a job. So off he went, left her behind, singing Be Good Tanya.
So has it become kind of your signature song, Frazee?
Well, we don't actually perform it anymore, but a lot of the lyrics in the song are definitely about sort of following your dreams, which is definitely something that we all went through as we were trying to write songs and be a musician. I mean, everybody really thinks you're a bum, kind of. They're like, when are you going to go back to school and get your life together? But then it's so funny because as soon as they see your name in the paper or you put out a CD, suddenly everybody's like, wow, we're so glad you followed your dreams and that we encouraged you.
Well, you know we're not going to let you get away with just telling us about this and not being able to hear it. It's not on your new CD, and you say you don't perform it anymore.
We never do it.
You can't give us, like, just a line or two of a cappella?
We could sing a little bit of it. It goes,
Be good, Tanya, oh, Tanya, be good. I can't remember. That's why we don't do it anymore.
Rain and Snow is another traditional tune. I want you to tell me about that.
It's like an old 16th century English folk tune. It's got some very strange lyrics about images of being put out in the snow and apple juice and being poor and all these strange things.
Now, that doesn't sound like a traditional arrangement. I know it says traditional song, but there's even a little bit of reggae, I would say, going on there. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what do you like about this music? What do you like about the traditional song that you sing? What draws you to it? Trish?
Folk music is really an evolving thing. Like, songs that are hundreds of years old, they continually change. There's so many versions. Everybody does different versions of those old songs, adding verses, amalgamating two different songs, borrowing verses from different songs, adding new ones, and rearranging the arrangements and the harmony, and that's just part of what folk music is all about.
Well, crazy.
For me, I grew up singing sort of country music with my mom and listening to a lot of soul, which led me to gospel and blues, and I listened to a lot of that stuff, but I was always in projects and bands that were, there was a lot of instrumentation going on that would sort of compete with the vocals, and then playing, I just sort of became really attracted to very pared down music where there was a lot of space and a lot of room for sensitivity. And traditional music is just, it's I was thinking about it the other day. There's just such a warmth and familiarity to it. It's sort of a resting place. I don't know. It's funny.
That combined with the simplicity of, you know, the fact that you only have to know 2 or 3 chords on an instrument to be able to play these songs. It's nothing too complicated about it. None of us are really technically proficient on any of our instruments.
Trisha's
quite proficient. But I mean, I know for me with the mandolin, I play a lot of mandolin in the band, but I'm no mandolin whiz.
No David Grisman.
I'm not David Grisman. I'm not Bill Monroe. It's definitely more about listening to the instrument and the voice of the instrument and what the instrument has to say. I really sit there and it's this old wooden mandolin that I have and it's like it speaks.
Your style of music is nowadays being called roots music, which is probably not a bad term considering how broad and all-encompassing it is. It really can just, it runs the gamut. But it's also, because you have so many traditional melodies as well, I would think that the guardians of this traditional music take it very seriously. You know, this is holy ground for them on which treading.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What do you ever hear from them?
Who are they? Who are the guardians?
People who have grown up, let's say, with this music in North Carolina or in Alabama or in Virginia and who learned it at their mother and father's knee and grandmother and grandfather, and they have a traditional interpretation of how this music should be performed.
Yeah, we definitely get sort of mixed responses. Some of those people just absolutely adore what we're doing, and some of them are like, wow, I'm not sure if I like it, but it's very interesting. And some of them are like we got one response from someone who was really upset because they couldn't make out the words very clearly, which is sort of, I sing in that style where you can't hear what I'm saying very well some of the time, and they're quite upset because traditionally, of course, you need to be able to hear the lyrics. She's a free bird. She warbles as she flies. She never has cuckoo. Tell for a day what you like.
Crazy, when you said that sometimes people have complained that they can't understand the lyrics you're singing and that you don't think it's any big deal.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, is that intentional? You think you're going to just kind of slur them or what?
Well, you know, my whole life, it's funny because my dad actually has a really strong lisp. And I grew up with him, and so I think I picked up his speech style from him. And so my whole life, he's been telling me to enunciate. He always says, you've got to enunciate. And so, like, naturally when I came and started singing, it just became that I listened to Ricky Lee Jones and a lot of people that you can't really hear the lyrics of their words, and I thought it was kind of cool. But I've been getting enough feedback lately that I'm beginning to consider enunciating. That's all I can say.
There's an original song I wanted to ask you about called Don't You Fall. Can we hear a little bit of that?
Don't you fall in love with me. Don't show me your affection. I can't give you what you want from me. I don't want the attention I gave away my heart before, and it only caused me sorrow. How could I?
See, the first thing I notice about that song, besides the fact that it's a lovelorn song, is that it's in 3/4 time. It's a waltz, which to me is terribly romantic.
Yeah.
Are you conscious of that when you write a song, of what the meter's going to be?
Not really. I find when I write a song, they always start out as waltzes.
No, wait a minute. Wait,
the formula. Very specific.
But it's something satisfying about that, isn't
it?
It
is. When I pick up a guitar and I start playing it, generally what's going to come out is a waltz.
So sometimes you have to force
Sometimes I have to force myself to change it. Yeah.
But for this one, for a lovelorn song, you kept it.
Yeah, I just didn't. I never thought about it being any different than it was.
The first time, one of the first times I saw Sam perform, there was this open mic, and she was up on stage playing that song with a friend of ours, Deb. But I remember listening to that song and going, what a great old song. It's so beautiful. And then she's like, well, I wrote that song last night. And I was like, that is amazing that you can make a song that just comes out of you that sounds like it's 100 years old.
So when you have a song that you like, Sam, and you bring it to Trish and to Frazee, and you say, look, I think this would suit our voices, or how does that work?
No, it's just a matter of, well, you know, spending a lot of time just sitting around and jamming, really. It's not, it's just whatever we happen to be singing, really. Harmonies tend to form quite naturally. Nothing is too worked out, and I think that really comes through on album. I listen to the songs now and I go, wow, they're so raw.
Yeah.
You know?
That's, to me, why it was so surprising, the response that we got, because it was always music that was, I didn't even consider even doing shows with this kind of music, because it was real living room, sitting around with my mom or friends, and to do an album or to do a whole show like that was sort of, it didn't occur to me until we ended up doing it.
Well, what do you mean you were surprised by the response? I mean, people said, oh yeah, I'll pay to hear this?
Oh yeah, the response has been quite overwhelming for us, as far as, not just people saying, I'll pay to hear this, but people talking to us after shows or sending us letters or emails about how much our music, whether the live show or the CD, has moved them. It's quite surprising.
Oh, there's this one beautiful story about this couple that were driving, it was their first trip, they were driving across America together, and our song came on public radio in the middle of somewhere, and it was all crackly and quiet, and the girl heard it, and she was like, wow, this is beautiful. And then the guy went to reach for the knob, and as he was reaching for the knob, she thought, if he turns it down, it's over. If he turns it up, I'm in love. And he turned it up.
What was the song?
The littlest birds.
Well, I feel like an old hobo on sad, lonesome and blue. I was fair as a summer day. Now the summer days are through. You pass through places, and places pass through you. But you carry them with you on the soles of your traveler shoes.
Frazee Ford, Samantha Parton, and Trish Klein, they are the Be Good Tanyas. Their debut CD is called Blue Horse. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I love you so dearly, I love you so clearly, I'll wake you up in the morning so early just to tell you I got the wandering blues. I got the wandering blues, and I'm gonna quit these rambling ways one of these
day. And for this evening, that's All Things Considered. John Buckley edits, Stephen Lichtai directs, and Walter Ray Watson produces with Tracy Wall, Annie Wu, Devar Ardalan, Alice Winkler, and Petra Mayer. Technical director is Abdullah Rufus. Audio engineers include Ivan Burkett and Marty Curcius. The managing editor is Barbara Rehm, and I'm Lisa Simeone. Good evening from Weekend All Things Considered and NPR News.